Hey everybody, it's Brock Polk, and I want to thank you for listening to this message from Heritage Church of Christ. We would be thrilled to share more content like this with you and make it easy for you to share it with others. You can find more messages like this on our podcast, or you can download our smartphone app by searching for Heritage Church of Christ in your app store. But most importantly, I hope this message encourages you to take a next step toward a thriving relationship with Jesus. Enjoy.
And his way with words and his Christ-centered preaching were important parts of one of the most spiritually formative times of my life. Since then, I've had the chance to get to know Eddie even better as a friend and a colleague, and we've spent more time together. And every experience I've had with Eddie has left me feeling more encouraged and inspired to try to live like Jesus. I think today's going to have the same experience for you. Eddie's got more ministry experience than I could even begin to describe, but I wanted you to know that he comes with my express endorsement, because I am so thankful for who Eddie Sharp is as a leader and a friend and a mentor in my life, and I hope today will be a blessing to you. Let's give a Heritage welcome to Eddie Sharp.
Well, let's don't tell him how this really goes. It'll break his heart. It's great to see you. I think we ought to be fired up after the songs we've been able to sing this morning. Awesome music, awesome songs. And I appreciate Mateo and his gang and what they do at this church. I was here a few weeks ago for Brother Jim's funeral. And of course that was a momentous time to be inside these walls with you. I had known Jim a long, long time. In fact, I have known remnants of this church all the way back to when I would come with my granddad, and we would come to the New Year's Eve singing at maybe Riverside. There was a church that then became a part of Midtown, and then anyway, as he said, I've got a lot of ministry experience, which is just a euphemism for this guy is old. Old. I have a nice wife. She's teaching our Bible class at Highland Oaks in Dallas this morning and is helping a little bit with worship. Anyway, her name is Annette. She is smarter than I am, prettier than I am, better than I am. And so you should meet her. It would be good. We've got three kids. They're all married. We've got each of our kids have children. Each one has a boy and a girl, as it should be. So we are grandparents and parents and all of that. But we are absolutely, Annette and I are absolutely committed to the life that we have in Jesus Christ, and in sharing that life still. We believe with all of our hearts that those of us who are in Christ are in the right place, in the place where the purpose of our life is being worked out. And I want to talk about that this morning. I really have gotten to the point where I only have one sermon, and I package it in different ways, but it ends up being the same thing. If you're not in Jesus, find Jesus. If you are in Jesus, live it out and celebrate it. And we'll all be home soon. That's sort of the sermon. Somebody said, well, why don't you just quit there? Well, we can't do that. So I would like to read the text for this morning, although what's already been read by our sister Kelly, we could preach that if we wanted to. But I'm going to be preaching out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14 down through the end of the chapter. And I think it'll be on the screen. You can follow along if you like, or you can listen. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we're convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And since he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for the one who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we no longer know him in that way. So, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we're ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled, be connected, be at peace with God. For our sake, God made the one who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Lord, bless this word. As this word is poured out into the hearts of all of us gathered here, and that word would meet our own spirit and your Holy Spirit, and some good thing would come as we draw closer to Jesus. Amen. One of my great challenges has been to get comfortable in my own skin as a person who's alive in the world. At some point, I found out that I existed. I don't know when it was. Maybe I was 4 or 5, maybe 6, I don't know. I found out that I was. I had amnesia. I was, and it's different from some of my friends. I've got a picture here of two of my friends that were at my house this week. These are two bags of oatmeal. They're identical in every way, pretty much. And the thing I want to tell you, before I talk about that, I need to tell you what I used to say when I was being real tacky to people when I was in elementary school. In elementary school, I would talk about somebody that I didn't think was very smart, and I would say, that guy, if he sat down beside a box, he wouldn't know which one he was. Well, that's not a kind thing to say about a person, but I was looking at these bags of oatmeal this week, and I was thinking about this lesson, and one of those bags doesn't know it's not the other bag. You're not writing this down. They're not having a conversation about what do you want to be when you grow up. They're not saying, well, I was thinking about perhaps being cereal at breakfast. And the other one says, no, I was aspiring that with an amalgamation of raisins and sugar and flour and maybe a little baking soda powder, I might become an oatmeal raisin cookie and bring delight to all those around me. They're not having that conversation because they don't know that they are. Some people live like they don't know who they are. In fact, in one of my favorite Psalms, Psalm 135, it's found in some other places, but in Psalm 135, the psalmist says that there are people who end up not knowing who they are. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. A nose, but there is no breath in their mouth. Talking about the idols of the nations. And then there's this piece. Those who make them and all who trust in them shall become like them. So in this psalm, The psalmist says, if you serve a dead God, you end up being a dead person. If you serve something that is not, then you end up being is not. Now, the world, the evil one, likes to put on this large masquerade that there is life in all kinds of ways, life in all kinds of ways, life everywhere. But sometimes, even in the brightest of lights, a truth comes in. Taylor Swift's song, where she says she can do it even with a broken heart. Has the videos of her in these magnificent concerts, dressed in all of these things, but the refrain of the song is, my genius is, I can do it with a broken heart. And if that is the end of us, if the end of us is that we are just bags of oatmeal, without any aspirations to be cereal or cookies, if we're just bags of oatmeal sitting around one another, making believe that we are something when we are actually nothing, then let the world roll on, and the fact that we live does not matter. The philosopher Camus said that one of the great challenges, in fact, perhaps the key philosophical challenge, is to figure out why you should continue to live. He says, because if all that awaits us is an unconscious nothingness, then it doesn't matter when it begins. That's a dark spot, that. And I thought about not saying that at all, afraid that somebody in the room might be on the edge of making that decision. And if you are on the edge of making that decision, don't jump. Don't. There's good news. So there's a guy named Moses, and he is in the wilderness, and he's minding his own business, and he's 80 years old. Much older than I am. I'm not even old enough to be called at a burning bush. But he's out there, and God has a notion that he would like to bring his people who are in slavery in Egypt, he would like to bring them out. And so Moses, who is out herding sheep for his dad. Can you imagine being 80 years old and you got to go out and herd your dad's sheep? Can I just take the car? No. But Moses sees a burning bush. And it's burning, but it's not being consumed. It is just alive with the appearance of fire and presence. And as he approaches it, he hears, take off your shoes because this is holy ground. And in this interchange between the being in the bush and Moses, Moses hears that this is a call for him to go to Egypt and be God's representative. But one of the questions he asks is, what if they ask me, by what authority am I doing this? Who am I supposed to say my God is that is calling these people out? Who is my God? And you know the answer. Those of you who've grown up, been yanked up in Bible school, you know the answer. Maybe you don't know the answer. Maybe you've not heard this. And if you haven't, then it is my great delight and joy to tell you that what God says, my name is I am who I am. And some people go, huh? What? But for some of us, the notion that the one who created the universe and the one who calls a people and the one who loves a people and the one who would redeem a people describes himself as alive and being and knowing he is not a bag of oatmeal. That God is, and his isness is real. His amness is real. Because if his realness is real, if his amness is real, then it's possible that he could come to us and say, I can give you this reality too. In fact, you already have this reality. You already are someone. You already are someone for eternity. But what I want you to do is I want to come to you and I want to bring you to myself. Because you've taken a path, you've gone down an alley, you have taken your amness and you are treating yourself like you're a nothingness. You are alive forever, but you're living like you're going to burn out like a bottle rocket, that your life is just going to go. And what I want to do is I want to come to you as you live in this short-term, quick approach to life, and I want to embrace you and bring you into a different world. And so he sends Jesus, and in the cross and the resurrection, you have this picture. I don't know, Jesus comes into the world, and one of the things that Jesus says in John chapter 8, he's talking to these teachers of the law, and he says, right there in the next to the last verse, he says, even before Abraham was, I am. And he uses the form that is not just the, before Abraham was, I was, but he uses the amness of God, and they heard it. They heard him saying that he shared, represented, lived into, was the amness of God. Even before Abraham was, I am. And the story of Jesus is that the God who is God, who wants us to know our identity, who wants us to be and truly be, has come to us and has shared his very being with us. This is the simplest gift you can imagine. That suddenly the life that you may have been taught was not worth all that much, was not significant. How could you be that significant in a world of 6 billion people? That the God who is God loves you and those around you enough that the very God who is the I am, who I am in the bush, would be the God who is I am in the flesh in Jesus. And so this next slide talks about the death and resurrection of Jesus. That Jesus came to live out what being truly alive would mean. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they'll be filled, for they'll receive the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek. Blessed are those who are pure in heart. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those that you can be the salt of the earth. You can be the light of the world. Your righteousness can be greater than the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. You can be people who know how to be nice to folks. You know, know how to be people who know how to be nice to other people in your sexual ethics. You know how to turn the other cheek. You know how to give and to pray and to fast. You know that you can seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know how to live without judgment, knowing there might be a log in your own eye. You know how to live by the golden rule. Give as you'd like to get. Jesus talks about how to be. He says there's a wide way that leads to destruction, but there's a way, there's a narrow way. It may be hard, but there's a way that leads to life. Jesus comes to talk about how to be, and then he pays the price of our becoming. He was preaching about our being more like the Good Samaritan. He was preaching about us being more like Mary and Martha, more like the woman at the well, more like. But we did not have the freedom, we did not have the ability to become the life that Jesus described until Jesus was willing to go to the cross and embrace the darkness of the people who didn't know who they were, the people who had lived off the blueprint of their life. Jesus went, and as Paul says, the one who knew no sin became sin so that he might present us as the righteousness of God. And if I were going to translate righteousness out of the original, wonder what that means. Righteousness is the ability to live as if you were going to live forever with God. That you begin the Godward life. You begin the life as you were meant to have it. You begin the living the life as God had originally intended it and has now redeemed it, now reconciled it, now brought it back to where it should be in Christ. Now you get to do that. The power of the resurrection. And so this next slide is just a slide about baptism. You know, God doesn't just want to whisper in your ear, you're all better now. The God who speaks to us intellectually, the God who works with us in our minds, the God who works with us in our bodies, that knows that we are this psychophysical unity. We think and we feel, and in baptism, he gives us something to feel. Yeah, some people may not appreciate all that much. But God is in the business of kind of saving us inside and out and all over. And so when he says, I would like for you to know Jesus, the one who before Abraham was, I am. I would like for you to allow Jesus to carry the weight of your sin, whatever that means, however that happens, whatever that does. I would like you to carry the weight of Jesus to carry the weight of your sin. I would like for us to be reconciled together. I would like us to be friends again. I would like everything to be put back together. And so what I'd like for you to do is accept his invitation that's in the cross to come and die with him, and to accept his invitation that's in the resurrection to come and be raised with him. And I experience that, I act that out in baptism. And it's not really a sermon about baptism, except it's hard to not talk about this old, new Christian ritual whereby I say, I choose the I Am. And in choosing the great I Am and his Son, whose I Am, I choose also to be. I am alive in the I Am of God. So, that means that as a church, we are the confederation of people who truly are. We are human beings because we truly are alive in Christ. And as people alive in Christ, then we hear the language of 1 John 4, and we hear how it connects here. For the love of Christ compels me. That we're a church of people who are moved by the love of Christ because the love of God in God has been shared now through Christ and the Holy Spirit and is poured into our hearts. And now we live in the world as people who are living out the death and resurrection of Jesus together for the sake of the world. And if you're one of those bags of oatmeal, nothing is going to compel you. You're not going to do anything. I've got a joke that's sort of similar to this, that I really love, and people, I tell this and people go, what? But it's about this August day. It's hot in Texas. It's this August day, and these two hogs are sitting in the mud just up to their eyes. And one of them looks at the other one and says, you know, Arnie, it just doesn't seem like a Tuesday. Yep, that's what always happens. There's a kind of life that's just humdrum and not going anywhere. The oatmeal life, the hog in the mud life, that's not our life. We have the power within us to truly be. May God grant us the willingness to step into the promise, to step into the peace, to step into the future and the ministry that we have as people who know finally in Christ who we were always meant to be. Let's pray together. And Father, we know that one of the great illustrations of us is sheep without a shepherd, wandering, lost, not knowing where we belong or what we're for. We are thankful today, Father, that in Christ you have given us new life, life indeed, that you have pointed us to the true life that is expressed in you, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May we live into that with all that is in us. Let us abandon despair. Let us abandon darkness. Let us abandon the selfishness that denies who we actually are in ourselves. Bless us in the name of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.